As mentioned today, we're considering a dogma virtually unheard of before the 19th century. Within years, it morphed from humble beginnings in the British Isles to a worldwide phenomenon, and millions extolled its virtues with unbending devotion and evangelistic fervor. By the 20th century, its cardinal doctrines permeated bastions of education and penetrated corridors of influence and power. Masters of mass communication championed its tenets, and academic institutions churned out its messengers. Its proponents considered themselves keepers of orthodoxy, and they react with cult-like fanaticism when their presuppositions are questioned. Though its underpinnings are racist, luminaries from politicians to playwrights laud its virtues. The dogma to which I refer, of course, is Darwinian evolution. The intellectual revolution it initiated provided the scientific substructure for some of the most significant atrocities in human history. Look, Hitler's genocidal mania was fueled by Darwin's racist contention that civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace savage races throughout the world. And like Hitler, Karl Marx, the father of communism, saw in Darwinism the scientific and the sociological support for an economic experiment that eclipsed even the horrors of the Holocaust. And then there's Sigmund Freud, the founder of modern psychology, who was also a faithful follower of Charles Darwin. And his belief that man was merely a sophisticated animal led him to postulate that anxiety and other mental disorders each embody behavior that was once adaptive for the human species in the stages of evolution. And of course, there's Dr. John L. Down, who labeled Down syndrome mongoloid idiocy because he thought it represented a throwback to the Mongolian stage in human evolution. Throwbacks, of course, are undesirable because for evolution to progress, it's as crucial that the unfit die as that the fittest survive. If the unfit survived, they'd continue to infect the fit with less fit genes, and the result would be that the more fit genes would be diluted and they would be compromised, and evolution simply couldn't take place. Well, nowhere were the far-reaching consequences of this cosmogenic mythology more evident than in the pseudoscience of eugenics. Because eugenics hypothesized that the gene pool was being corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people. So they had a plan, and the plan was to identify individuals who were feeble-minded and then stop them from breeding by isolation in institutions or by sterilization. The logical progression from evolution to eugenics was hardly a surprise. What I find breathtaking, however, is the vast rapidity with which this baseless theory was embraced by the cultural elite. Supporters ranged from Theodore Roosevelt to Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And research for eugenics was funded through philanthropies such as Carnegie and Rockefeller foundations, and then carried out at prestigious universities like Stanford and Harvard and Yale and even Princeton. and legislation to address this problem, the problem posed by eugenics, was passed in blue states ranging from New York to California, and was even backed by the National Academy of Sciences and the Medical Association of America. Of course, those who resisted eugenics were considered backward. Conversely, German scientists who gassed feeble-minded people were considered forward-thinking and progressive, and were rewarded with grants from institutions like the Rockefeller Foundation right up to the onset of World War II. Of course, it wasn't until the ghastly reality of eugenics reached full bloom in the genocidal mania of German death camps that it quietly vanished into the night. Indeed, after World War II, few institutions and even fewer individuals would own up to their insidious belief in eugenics. Nor did the cultural elite ever acknowledge the obvious connection between eugenics and evolution. Well, look, eugenics has faded into the shadowy recesses of history, but the tragic consequences of the evolutionary dogma that birthed it are still with us today. And that is why today, on the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth, as well as the 150th anniversary of The Origin of Species, which, by the way, was subtitled The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, we want to highlight the problems of the evolutionary dogma. Ideas have consequences. And the consequences of this cosmogenic myth can hardly be overstated. And I would be remiss as the president of the Christian Research Institute if I didn't highlight this problem in the next couple of days. We are not just talking about a issue, we're talking about the issue. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. And today we want to use reason in an age of scientific enlightenment and allow the science to lead us wherever it will. The problem today is that we are beset by consensus science. I think consensus belongs to the realm of politics. And if, in fact, we're going to allow science to lead us wherever it will, we can't determine it by the size and shape of the latest lobby group. We need to be intelligent. And we need to look at intelligent design as a function of letting science lead us wherever it will. We're on the broadcast today. I want to do a number of things. One is I want to put some incredible resources into your hands. Over the years, this has been a pet issue for me. Why? Because it is a macro issue. And therefore, I have searched far and wide to find the very best resources to put into your hands. And we've put together a package of resources, including The Privileged Planet. It's an incredible DVD. Icons of Evolution, again, an incredible resource. And The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel. These are three different sources by three different organizations and individuals that I think by themselves win the day. And then I wrote a book called Fatal Flaws, What Evolutionists Don't Want You to Know. These four resources as a package should be in your library, in your reading library, in your video library. They are available as a package for you today, and they do two things. One is they're a resource through which you can impact the world on this most crucial of issues. And two, they're a way of supporting the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute, a megaphone to the world through which people can find out about these kinds of resources. In addition to this, I am bringing to you over the next couple of days some of the leading thinkers on the subject so that you will be equipped. If you're a skeptic, ask your question, because we want the facts to lead wherever they will. This is not about propaganda. This is not about Bill Maher getting on his pundit's platform and making fun of something. No, we want reasoned debate. We don't want the kind of debate spawned by the Bill Maher's of this world and the Richard Dawkins of this world that simply rule discussion out of hand by the violence of their rhetoric. How about civility? How about discussing this issue, which ultimately is going to determine the direction of civilization? How about having a reasonable discussion about this? How about, as Christians, not simply plugging your ears and saying, my Bible says, but learning to read your Bible for all it's worth, becoming conversant with these issues from a biblical, a scriptural standpoint, as well as from a scientific standpoint. You say, well, I'm not that smart. Yes, you are. Let me tell you something. I'm a layperson. Anything I can do, you can do, and many of you can do far better. You are called to be salt and light. And again, we're dealing with a macro issue, and we're using Darwin's birthday. 200 years later, we've seen the consequences of a cosmogenic myth, the sovereignty of self replacing the sovereignty of God. No plumb line, but now truth is determined by the size and strength of the latest lobby group. You say, I can't do this. You have to do this for the sake of your children, for the sake of Western civilization. The DNA of the modern world is ultimately rooted in a proper understanding of the Bible. If we give this up, we're going to give up Western civilization. You need to be part of an army making a difference. It's why we ask you to support this ministry. It's not about an organization. It's about an organization making a difference, lives being touched. You'll see that during today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But burn up the phone lines. Better yet, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and say, I want this package, I want it now. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We have been silent too long because all too often we simply haven't known what to say. This broadcast, tomorrow's broadcast, will equip you in that very significant area, knowing what to say and knowing how to say it with gentleness and with respect. We have to make a difference.